How's everybody today? Fantastic. I like to hear that. So, praise God. So today we are having our last sermon on the series, Living the Love of Jesus. And so today as we go through this, I thought the best way to do this is sort of do a little recap at the beginning of all the weeks, right? So that we can actually understand where it all flows together. And today we can culminate with what the last few sections of this series are as we live the love of Jesus and as each one of us grows to live the love of Jesus each and every day. But as we do that, why don't we just start this in prayer today, because I just feel like this is something we need to do. So Lord, as we gather this morning around your word, Lord, we pray that it would touch us, Lord, that your spirit would work in us. That Lord, each one of us would understand the calling, Lord, that we are your disciples. And that thus, Lord, we live the love of Jesus each and every day. So, Lord, we ask that you would just empower us to do that through your Spirit. And that, Lord, each one of us would touch people throughout our places that we live, work, and play. So that, Lord, they could hear the great news of Jesus as well. So that, Lord, their lives could be changed just like ours. So that, Lord, they could say that truly it changed everything for us. And that they would say that same phrase. So, Lord, we pray that today, and we ask, Lord, that you would just bless us during this time together. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, living the love of Jesus, that is our mission statement here, right? So, everybody can say that together. Living the love of Jesus, right? That's got to be rolling off your tongue by now, hopefully, okay? And that's got to be something that you're willing to just say immediately when you see people. What is our Savior's about? Living the love of Jesus, that's what we're about. And we strive to do that each and every day. So living the love of Jesus is our purpose and our mission. And the whole thing that we've been talking about is what does that actually look like? To live the love of Jesus, it's an easy thing for us to say, but what does it actually look like as we do that? And we said that it first begins with Jesus filling us with his Spirit and with his love. And as he fills us with his love and Spirit, what happens? It overflows outside of us and gets everything else wet with love around us, right? That was the illustration with the glass that I had that first week. And that's what we're striving to do, is first understand the great love that Jesus has for us. And because of that great love he has for us, as he pours it into us, it goes out to everyone else. And the evidence of that love for Jesus is what? As John 14 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's actually us living to live up to Jesus' expectations, which we know we can't do perfectly. That's why we need all of this here, right? Because we need his forgiveness, because we can't do it perfectly. But ultimately, that's what God says. And the commandments that he gives us is this. He summarizes it in Matthew 22. He says this, as a teacher comes up to him and says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law?" And notice how Jesus replied. He said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." First commandment. The first and the greatest is this. The second is this. It is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So the two commandments that he sums it up to is this. Love God with all that you have. And what else? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's how we do that. And we talked about that it really is living the sacramental presence, the sacramental life that Jesus gives us. Because in Galatians 2:20, when we talked about this, we focused on the fact that it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." It's through the Lord's Supper, as we just took in his body and blood. He is in you. And as Martin Luther said to us, Christ domiciles in me. He lives in me. And thus, we are little Christs everywhere that we go. And we should live that as a badge of honor. That he thinks enough about you and of me to have us be little Christs running around this world. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about this. You're a little Christ, and so everywhere we said that you live, work, and play, you have to have in your mind that you are a little Christ in that place. And so you have the chance to bring Jesus' presence everywhere you go. Isn't that amazing? Little Christ in this world. How many of you actually think that? It's hard. I get it. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to think that I'm a little Christ running around this world because I don't see myself as Christ. I mean, I can't even feel like I can even get close to Christ. But that's who we are. And he calls us to live that life so that people see him in us. As we imitate Jesus, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, imitate me as I imitate Christ. See, we aren't perfect examples. We're just living examples of Christ in this world, of him living in us. And so we can't be perfect, but we can sure be a living example of what we're striving to be. So that when people look at us, where we work, where we live, and where we play, they see Jesus in us. And the best thing they can do is look at you and say, there's something different about you. I want to know what that is. Why do you act that way? Why do you go to church every Sunday? Why do you read your Bible? Tell me a little bit more on why that's so important. This is an important process, right? We talked about this, that we are actually little Christs in the world. And the key understanding we said was this, that Jesus lives in you, his church, for what? The sake of the world. We aren't here for ourselves. We aren't here for us. Sure, we're here to support one another and everything else, but the reason that we are here, the reason that we have Christ in us is why? For the world. It's for everything out there. It's so that we can touch everybody around us and that we can be his disciples. I mean, think about what the 12 did, right? Jesus invested in them for 3 years, and what did they do? They changed the world, didn't they? You and I are here as believers because of what those 12 did. How many people do we have here today? Just think if we went out and did just a little bit of the same, what difference it would make in this community. See, we are here for the sake of the world. And as we talked about this, we said the key idea is love, right? I mean, if we say we live the love of Jesus, other than Jesus being a key word in that phrase, what is the other key word? It's love. And the idea of love is what we really concentrate on, is what does it mean to love? And we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that this is a key area of Scripture where we learn about what love is. Because Paul is very clear in this chapter, what does love look like? Because he talks about it not as an emotion, but as an outward, self-forgetting action. Can you say that with me? An outward, self-forgetting action. That's what love is. Love is an action. It is not a feeling. Love is an outward, meaning away from me, forgetting about myself, action that I do for others. That's what Paul is clear about in 1 Corinthians 13, that a love is truly about that. And he says that a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I loved you. You also are to love one another, and by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. See, the reason people will know that you and I are disciples of Jesus Christ is how? By our love. And it's an action. How can you see an emotion? Not very well, right? I mean, you can see anger, you can see sadness, but how do you see an emotion of love? The only way you can see it is by action. And so the way people will know that we are his disciples is because of the love we show to one another and the love that we show to the community all around us. That's how people will know that we are his disciples. It's not by the cross on the sign. It's not by this massive building and great building that God has given us. The way Jesus says people will know that we are his disciples is by what? Our love. Our love. So that's a quick summary of our 5 weeks. It's pretty well tied together, isn't it? And it's amazing what is there. There is so much information that is there. And hopefully these last few weeks have been very good for you to go through and understand what that means. But we still have some things that come from this. Because as we hear that love is actually an action, that sort of fulfills and gets us to the last two core values that we laid out for our 5-year plan. The first of that is this, that we have growth through generosity, because generosity is an action. And all growth, physical and spiritual, is accomplished through the generosity of God and his people. As a response to his love and grace, we live lives that are generous. Okay, now, generosity, when we first think about that, most of us go right to the pocketbook, right? But that's not exactly all we're talking about here. That is part of living a generous life. But there is so much more to living a generous life. As you see in just that first phrase, we're saying that all growth, the growth that we have spiritually, comes to us first from the generosity of God. Because how was God generous to us?
Love.
He was generous out of love. Why? Because he sent his one and only son. He gave him to us. And he sent him to the cross so that there he would die and suffer for you and I. That's generosity, isn't it? He gave up everything for you and for me. But then he rose again on the third day so that we could have eternal life. I mean, that is truly generosity. So generosity first comes from God, and then it's something that fills us through his love, so that that love is an action that we can be generous to others. And as you can see, this is demonstrated by these actions, viewing all that we have as God's possessions and leveraging that for the kingdom of God, knowing that everything that you have has been a gift from God, and it is meant to be given to you so that you could use it for the betterment of his kingdom. That's ultimately why it's there. For your enjoyment, yes, but as you enjoy it, to expand it so that his kingdom is actually blessed by it. The second part of this is that our commitment is to eliminate debt in order that we might reallocate our resources to reach the community with Jesus' love. That's why we went to that campaign to try to get rid of some of our debt as we go forward. And the important thing, though, is as we do that, that we don't skimp on giving to regular offerings. Because we need to continue to do that to make the function of this place continue to go forward. Right now, we're about 10%, 13% down in regular offerings, but we're up in that debt reduction, which is good, but we need to continue to get offerings in for our offering plate. The other part of this is this, that budgeting with the needs of our local community and community at large in mind, that we intentionally listen to the community all around us, and that what we do in our budgeting as we go forward is we budget so that we can impact this community, not budget so we do things for us here. Yes, we'll do things for us here, don't get me wrong. We will do stuff for us. But we also have to think about how do we use the dollars that God has blessed us with to bless the community all around us and be generous to them. And then finally, by embodying generosity of Christ while we embrace a life of trust and thankfulness. I think sometimes we forget about thankfulness, don't we? We forget to thank God for all that he's done for us. And some of these key verses that we look at here for our core value is this. From 1 Timothy we read, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertain certainty of riches, but on God who provides richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." So that those verses get to what? Our treasure is not here. Where is our treasure? It's heaven. It's that eternal life that we have with Jesus. So we don't store up things for this life. We store up things for eternal life with God. And that's what our focus is. But our world today is so easy to get us geared towards living for things in this life and not for the things of eternal life. There's a great example that Francis Chan gave, and I don't know if anybody likes Francis Chan in here, but I think he's just a great theologian and a great preacher. And at one point he has this whole rope, huge long rope that lanes all across the whole sanctuary. And he says, this is eternal life that keeps going eternally. And he has this red piece of tape on it right here. He says, that's your life. That's eternal life. Where is most of our focus? Right there. Not on everything else. It's a great visual and a great example. So, growth through generosity is one value. The next is this, trust through prayer. We bathe all things in prayer, trusting our Lord hears our prayers and will act and guide us in all things, knowing real world miracles do happen today. Amen. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe that miracles can happen. Jesus did miracles in the scriptures, and I believe Jesus can do miracles today. And we have to believe that he can. We demonstrate this core value by believing that God is reliable, that he is good, he is honest, and effective as well. We surrender ourselves and all of our troubles to God, replacing negative thoughts with positive ones. Now, how easy is that? There's times when I get caught up in the negativity of things. I admit it. Anybody else? You don't have to raise your hand. That's all right. Okay? But we need to replace our negative thoughts with positive ones, because we know that God is good and all things work for those who love him. And so even though sometimes things may seem like they're not working out perfectly, we know that ultimately the good is going to happen. And so we just have to trust that and pray in that as well. We expect good things to happen here at Our Savior's, and we expect greatness. See, that's why I continue to love being here, because I truly believe that there is great things that are going to happen here at Our Savior's. I believe that God is going to do an amazing work here in this community and in this place. And I believe that his Spirit is going to work unbelievably to something that you and I can't even imagine. It may take time, we may have to have patience, but I believe that that's what God can do. And if we lift it in prayer and continue to bathe it in prayer, I believe that God will actually see that happen. And that what we need to truly know is that we need to expect God's favor in all areas of the church life, but also in our personal lives. That if we can trust God and lift it all to him in prayer, that we will know that ultimately everything will happen that God wants to have happen here. And what he wants is for us to touch this community. See, Philippians that I started with says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. See, we don't have anything to worry about. We really don't. We shouldn't be anxious about anything. As I say that, I know it's not easy, because there's times when I get anxious about stuff. But when I do, I'm usually convicted too. Because I usually go, I shouldn't be. Just lift it in prayer. Thank God for what we have. But then ultimately, let our requests be made known to him. And know that through that, the things will happen. Mark tells us this: therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours. I love that. Because I do truly believe that if we lift things in prayer, God hears it. But you know what? Sometimes he doesn't answer prayers, does he? Not the way we want, anyways. I've had many times in my life where I prayed for something and it didn't happen, and I went, what the heck, God? But you know what? Years later, I look back and I go, thank God that didn't happen. Because it wouldn't have been the right thing for me. So sometimes God answers us, but in ways that he knows better for us than we could ever imagine. See, we are called to be the church. That's what it truly means to live the love of Jesus. And the way that we actually focus on this is by living the love of Jesus. And what we said in our five-year plans is this, and that is horrible, isn't it? So let me read this to you. So it looked good on the screen, on the computer screen, but it doesn't look good up there. So let me read this to you. This is what we said. The people of Our Savior's Palm Springs will impact the world around us by modeling these extraordinary behaviors. Why are they extraordinary behaviors? Because love is what? An action. So that's why. One, we spend time listening to God through worship, prayer, solitude, and reflection, and we respond to what we hear. So first is spending time in worship, prayer, solitude, and reflection. We listen to what God is telling us. And ultimately, when he tells us something, what do? We act upon it. Next, we know the stories of others well and are able to connect them to God's story. Now, what is that? Why would that be important? Because in order to impact the community, guess what we need to do? Get out there and talk with them. And we need to hear their stories. We need to spend time listening to them and understand what their life struggle is, what their story is. When we understand what their story is, then we can actually connect them to what God's story is and let them know how God plays a role in their lives. But the key thing is that we spend time talking to people who aren't sitting next to us, to people that are in this community. We love others in the messes of everyday life. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? It's not. It gets messy. Ministry is messy. And when you live the love of Jesus and you start talking to people in the community, you're going to get involved in situations that are messy and are dirty. But ultimately, that's where we're called to be, so that we can share the love of Jesus with them and pull them out of that dirtiness and that messiness so that they can have a life that is in the life of Jesus. We invite others as well to live the love of Jesus by intentionally investing in relationships and discipling others. That we take time to get to know people and build relationships with them. And as we do, we disciple them on the way of what Jesus calls us to do. Those are the main four ways that we live the love of Jesus and the actions that we do. And we do this all so that we can fulfill God's great commission that he gives us. To go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, what does he say? I am with you always, to the end of the age. See, we don't do this alone. We don't live the love of Jesus just because we decide to. The Spirit is what prompts us to go and do this. The Spirit is what helps us to go do this. It's that overflowing of God's love that does it. But the key thing is we have to remember that Jesus doesn't leave us alone. That he tells us that he is with us always. Always, and he will be here till the end of the age. That means until he returns. And so my prayer is that Jesus, help us to do what you've called us to do. And Lord, please come. Because we know if he comes, guess what? It'll be a glorious place, won't it? All the messes of this life will go away. And we will live eternally with him in perfect joy, peace, and happiness. So we should pray each and every day that either the Lord would bless the work that we do, or that he would come and take us to be with himself. Because we know how great that will be. But until then, we know he's with us, and he calls us to live the love of Jesus each and every day. Hopefully these messages have helped you understand what it means to love the love of Jesus. And as we leave this series, we go into a series for the next few weeks talking about the Holy Spirit itself and how the Holy Spirit fills us and continues to be this great blessing to us that is given to us in this world. So today, would you bow your heads and join me in prayer? Well, dear Lord, we just are so thankful for, Lord, how you have led us to this mission of living the love of Jesus. But Lord, we are so thankful as well for what you have done for us in clearly laying out within your scriptures of what it means to live the love of Jesus. That Lord, it starts with you filling us and letting that love that you have given to us overflow to everyone in this world. So Lord, as we leave here today, help us, Lord, to look for those opportunities to live that love today. Use us in ways that are new. And Lord, help us to truly understand that the love you call us to is a love that is not a feeling, but is a love that is action, as we are your hands and feet in this world. So Lord, help us, be with us, and bless us, Lord, as we go forward. Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. As we said in our final core value, prayer is a key part of that. So today, as the final song is being sung, we invite you to come forward to the prayer rail. Maybe it's a prayer of just asking God to help you, you know, live the love of Jesus more. Maybe you haven't quite truly understood who Jesus is, and today you want to truly commit your life to him. whatever it may be, come forward. And I'm sure we all have some prayer partners that will be up here that would love to pray for you as well as we go forward today.